Welcome, everybody. This is Dr. Lori Moore, and today I'm very happy and excited because I'm speaking with Sue Hines, an astrologer who's actually helped me very much over the years and really broadened my perspective in a beautiful way. What is most touching and important and even practical to me about Sue's work is that she offers a great contrast to the common pathological perspective that psychology has kind of put into the airwaves as a norm. And she speaks about the many different aspects of the self and how those aspects operate in relationship to each other to create different ways of thinking, different ways of approaching, just different ways of being in consciousness at different times, all with a valuable purpose for learning. So we're going to talk about that today, and welcome, Sue.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you for that introduction.
Yes, and I'm going to let you jump right in and share your own ideas about the value of using a perspective that's not pathological but's really based on, I would almost say, the goodness of the many different aspects of self.
That's a nice way to say it. I think for me as an astrologer, when I am sitting with you and I'm looking at your birth chart, I'm setting myself in a field of energetics that is a reflection of your own psyche. So I'm, instead of looking at it from a pathological, like what's wrong, perspective, I'm looking at it as how does Lori, how does anybody work with the energetics that they were given at birth? And so I sink myself into a visual picture of the solar system at the time and place of your birth. And the solar system to an astrologer is a field of archetypal forces that mirror our own psyche, our own inner being, so that each planet or the sun or the moon represent parts of ourselves. And it's in the backdrop of our Milky Way galaxy. So it tells me what kind of energy your sun, which is your vital source, is working through. Say it's in Aries, so it's working with the fiery energy of new beginnings. But each planet or each part of ourself is also in relationship to other parts of ourselves, and we see that in patterns in the chart. So I can see what works easily together, say how you are in relationship with people and how you become practical and take care of the earth things we have to take care of, or are they in conflict? And if they're in conflict, then two very different energies are trying to be balanced and worked with. So in astrology, we say as above, so below, and I often say to people, if you could realize what I'm looking at to talk to you about yourself is a picture of the solar system that we live in, which is a living, intelligent field in a living, intelligent universe, if you could really understand that that's what I'm looking at, then we wouldn't need a reading because our consciousness would already be self-realized that we're part of a greater wholeness that's always present. And so that's what I always try to bring forward, that greater wholeness of self. And that's, I think, what you meant by goodness.
Yes, and I think it's a very important and valuable perspective to open into people's eyes at this time, because self-inquiry, self-discovery, and the whole movement of psychology, I might be biased just because it's my background, but I think it's permeated a lot of at least this culture in the United States, and in my travels I've seen it's permeated other places too. And there sometimes is an attitude or opinion that I am the central location of things. I means I and I and I and I and I. But really, it seems to me that the central location of everything is something so vast and huge that I can't begin to comprehend it. And then out of that comes, as you say, systems, solar systems that are alive, the planets that are in relationship to the original source and to each other. And then on the planets come the elements, and out of the elements come numerous beings, people, animals, insects, etc. And so these enactments and inquiries we find ourselves in are really a reflection, and each one a part of, as you said, something much bigger. So when we can remember that, it almost shifts our consciousness in such a way that perhaps we can be more open to the aliveness of what's trying to happen now, rather than thinking something's a problem or a conflict. If there's some friction, see it more as an opportunity to go into a new discovery of what is consciousness as a whole directing through me as an individual to work out.
That's exactly it, and that's it, and that's what the paradigm shift is all about. And we're right at that edge right now of the paradigm shift. And there's many ways to look at it. Astrologers have very precise ways to look at it. But basically, that paradigm shift that's happening collectively, globally, culturally, and also within our beings is moving from a perspective of separateness, of polarization, into unity, into interrelatedness. And that's what you're talking about, because when you, and that's why, you know, having a practice or working with astrology or seeing yourself through astrology offers this very profound interrelatedness. And because of how we developed our masculine rational side for so long, and the scientific, that's, you know, luckily the scientific is starting to make its return to the aliveness, and how we look at things affects the outcome with quantum physics. But we're being, you know, just our very beings are being affected by this paradigm shift from the center of our awareness being through our personality ego, to this shift of we're all interrelated, and it's coming from a greater understanding of a reflection of meaning and wisdom is always around us that allows us opportunities to see more meaning and more interrelatedness. And as astrologers, that's exactly what we do all the time. So while the culture and the globe is in a crisis of lack of purpose or lack of meaning and polarization, the crisis is bringing an awakening, because if we don't deal with the crisis, then we won't be here on planet Earth. So there's this massive awakening happening, and we can look at it, you know, in with astrology, we can look at it on personal levels. How is each person right now being challenged and given an opportunity to awaken? Because as we reach the end of an age, it's like we, you and me, Lori, and everybody else, is like the flowering of a long lineage of humanity. We could go back, the lineages for the last 2,100 years, which is the age of Pisces, or we could go back, you know, 5,100 years, which is at the last the beginning of the Mayan cycle and the Mongolian cycle. And we could say we're the bloom of that lineage. And in order to go into the next new age, we have to clear the wounds of that lineage. We can't take it into the next age, because the next age is literally about interrelatedness. It's about not identifying through form, but being able to sense and work with energy. It's about the return of the feminine to balance the masculine and what that means in terms of community and intuition and interrelatedness and listening and receiving wisdom. So this paradigm shift that you're mentioning, I mean, it's happening at all levels.
So it's very exciting, and it's a time where really a compassion can be instantaneously developed when anyone chooses that, because we start to sense, I would even say it's not that we start to sense, we start to just turn the flashlight back to a reality that's very deep inside us of this oneness. And instead of pointing the flashlight to the 2,100 years of whatever purpose that, you know, so many archetypes had to play out, these enactments of fear or competition or wounding, like you said.
Right.
And now we're being pulled to say, oh, well, maybe that's very secondary, and let's shine the light here in our heart. We've known all along. We can feel, many of us can feel that we are truly one. It's not a concept. It's just the truth of the fabric, of the nature of things. And then there's such a compassion that can come for all the different communications, expressions. So rather than have anything be about conflict on a global, personal, any level, community, there could be just an opening to, oh, here comes an expression from that country or that person or that insect, and this is going to be a contribution in some way. If I'm settled deep in this oneness, this will be a contribution, because it seems that there's been a lot of ideas about something has to be at odds with each other, playing out in the global, the community, the personal, in a lot of ways in humanity for a long, long time.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we're going through the process of the destruction, of the taking apart of the old systems in order for the new to come up. And I look at it with the planet Pluto, which is, you know, the three outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto, which were discovered 1700, 1800, 1900 as the planets of transformation and transpersonal energy that create crisis and awakening, so we can know ourselves beyond our ego identity, which is based on separateness. And that's what you were talking about competition and fears and the wounds. We've based our identity on our wounds, and the ego has then compensated for it and looked for acknowledgement for its worthiness and okayness. And you can see the wound in the chart. So we're working with acknowledging that each moment can show us what we need to examine that needs to be and will be, you know, taken apart. So, for example, I have the planet Pluto on my Mars, and Mars is how we go about getting what we want. It's our energy to manifest through our desire. It's our unconscious needs that come up without consciousness, though they motivate our actions. So I get an opportunity to see how I go about manifesting what I want or moving with others toward what I want. And every time I bump up against another, I get an opportunity to see a reflection of what I need to let go of or what I need to embrace or how I can better communicate that power that's connected with Mars in coming through me. So it's a very interesting time that collectively we are also having an opportunity to be vulnerable to what our our wounds are. So that's something to hold, just to hold in our consciousness. We can keep choosing to turn to the light and the unity and an embodiment of our truth, but also we're getting challenged with very old unconscious pieces that are now surfacing.
So the universe is extremely intelligent in bringing forth and birthing this whole creation that actually gets to look at itself and say, oh, here's my consciousness is being used to re-stimulate some old archetypal pattern that has been played out for years and years in the human race, and now there's an opportunity to let something deep, deep, like something from deep under the earth, you know, grow like grass through me, or breath to come through me in a new way.
Right. You can literally look at that influence that comes from beneath as entering up through the root chakra and going through the chakras and taking apart the old emotional reactive grid and putting something else in place that has more transparency to the light and to the understanding, like you said, of compassion and interrelatedness, so we can greet each opportunity, we can greet each person that comes in our space with the wisdom right now that we're getting offered some sort of either a unique experience to collaborate with someone, or if it's more challenging to adjust something within ourselves. There's many ways we can talk about it.
So I would say for about maybe 8 years, and this is just my personal experience, but just being in contact with many people at all times, that 8, maybe more, there's been this intensification of the opportunity to clear, that the word you used, clear, in the beginning of our conversation, that the grace and the methods and the ways have just poured into the planet, that here you go, if you'd like to take an internal shower, you have many ways to do it, and it's available, and it's no longer so hard. And now there seems to be more and more of an opportunity for those who are choosing it to just be to be under the shower constantly, so that there's a bonding with the divine. There's instead of these creations that come from opposing the divine or being separate, there's this bonding, surrender, willingness, like to be played like an instrument, like to be a musical instrument that's being played by the divine, to let that energy come in. And so do you think that for many people now, it's an option to just get up in the morning, and when any aspect of consciousness starts taking one back into the more denser energies or any kind of conflictive energies, to just say, instead of having to do lots of tools and methods? I remember in the kind of 80s, 90s, it was really hard to change things, you know, in our consciousness. To me, it's, for those who choose, it's a lot easier now, and now there's this whole new level of easier where maybe people can just say, oh, my consciousness is going into, you know, the wound of the victim and the murderer, whatever. I'm saying that metaphorically. Mm-hmm. And rather than go and heal this and cleanse this and change this, I can just put myself straight forward right here into this birthing light and let that just kind of, you know, like a plant, the leaf goes, it's dead, it's going anyway.
Well, there's a couple things I'm thinking in regards to what you're saying, and I'll mention both of them and then say it a little deeper. The Mongolian shamans hold a very special calendar that collaborates with the Mayan calendar in the sense that it's a 5,000-year cycle, 5,000-year calendar. It's really more like, I think it's more like 20,000 years. But what they believe is that since 1985, we've been moving out of the era of man into the era of woman. And I'm going to talk about that. And the second point I wanted to make and come back to is that from a Kabbalistic point of view, and that's something I work with, Kabbalah and the Tree of Life, especially Kabbalah with the Q, which brings in the Western mystery schools, but always Kabbalah is connected to the Hebrew traditions, to the Egyptian traditions. It takes the solar system, like we could look at, okay, this is my psyche, is like this round, you know, of all these different parts conversing with each other, and it draws it up into a ladder to go up to the light, from the dense to the light. So using that system, what's happening is that we've been immersed in the densest, deepest part of the development of humankind and its ability to manifest, but we've gotten identified with the forms, and now we're returning. And as we return and we go back to releasing our identification with what you see is all there is and starting to sense into the invisible realms, what happens is we really start to own our powers of creation. And that's one of the main things that's going on right now. And especially with the Aquarian Age coming in, we're owning our powers as creators instead of victims, as co-creators and collaboration partners. And so we're moving beyond. We can move right into the powers of creation in any moment. In any moment it's delivering to us, we are taking up our responsibilities as creators and choice makers in the moment. It's no one else's fault. So going back to the Mongolian vision, and we're entering the age of woman, which is the return of the feminine, and it's a 5,000-year cycle. We're leaving the 5,000-year cycle of the era of man, which is the development of rational, linear thought and mind, the development of mind. We're returning to the development of feeling and sensing, so there'll be a balance. But they say that in between those ages is a 25-year period where we must walk through our consciousness of the earth. And so there's this purification going on and also a reattuning to the earth to come back to the feminine. And in that is also the ancestors. So these two pieces for me in regards to what you're saying, Lori, the pieces of return of woman or the era of woman, return of the feminine, a different way of sensing, using a different intelligence, the intelligence through the body and through the feeling and sensing and the intuition, and also that we're all over the globe, especially this quickening has happened because of the internet is now in place, which we see as the movements of the planet Uranus has corresponded with that development, and so important for the Aquarian Age. We're all connected. We're beginning to really get our powers as creators, because everything can happen so fast now. We can connect so quickly. So we're beginning to leave behind the whole victim consciousness. And if we're creators, we go right into that light, into that source point, because that's what, you know, that's what creation is all about. I mean, we live in this amazing world of creation, and we're coming to that, to be responsible to that, and that's the paradigm shift.
Yes, and this birthing in of the feminine as the, you know, the leader, I don't want to say leader because it's more the source, but it doesn't deny the male source, but this change of flavor where everything is existing in waves, not that it wasn't always, but there's a much more alert ability among many to feel the intricate waves moving through, as you said, the body and the light body. It's become really how life is. And I know, well, just for myself, the time frame I was raised in, I remember being conditioned out of that. I mean, I remember going to public school to basically be brainwashed. I actually went to what was considered one of the best one of the top 10, I think even top 5 high schools in the whole country, and I had wonderful teachers. So this is not saying anything bad. It was a beautiful place. It's just that in some ways everyone had been blinded by what you're expressing as what was probably a great strength at one point, the male energy coming in, somehow it got out of balance to the point that we were smushing down,
mm-hmm.
like the aliveness of the waves of life that we are all living in.
We were separating ourselves from the interrelatedness and the sacredness of this living, intelligent Earth. And that also, that took place because of the scientific revolution, which, you know, had its necessary place. I mean, the beauty about astrology is it tells us how timely everything is. And even though the energies that are available to us can get distorted and used inappropriately, for the most part, the unfoldment of movement to greater consciousness is taking place. And this scientific revolution took us out of identification with the aliveness of nature. You know, it took us away from believing in fairies and spirits. It took us away from believing in astrology. And it sat outside of everything and observed it as if there was an empirical truth we could arrive at. And so that development of that masculine, of the separation of the linear, of, and then out of that came technology, which led us, you know, also that scientific revolution also led us to quantum physics, which took us back into that we live in a participatory universe where we're all interfacing and affecting each other. So right now we're in this phase of having a shared experience of this awakening that's happening, that's shifting us into new ways of sensing. And the science is playing a role in that too. And we can look at what's happening astrologically right now. It's very intensified in terms of the breakdown of all systems and structures, governments and economies, so there can be a rebuilding coming up from more of a grassroots community level. That's where it's not going to come from the top down. We're leaving the hierarchical systems and even the hierarchical spiritual systems. So there's more balance. We're going into equal regard systems. So those old systems are breaking down. This is Pluto in Capricorn. The last time it happened was before the American Revolution. And we've just passed through a very intense time where there was a lot of contraction. There could be scapegoating. But what we're coming into, and we've already touched into, is this profound, innovative, and a time of great awakening. And that's going to get stronger and stronger next year.
So here's, as you're speaking, something interesting that I've experienced that I'd like to ask you to comment on, because I'm thinking it's a little microcosm of maybe what's happening on a more, maybe what's happening among the planets and stars. So lately I have noticed that when it's time to give a talk or an event, and it even happens in my personal life, maybe just to meet a friend for lunch, there'll be a lot of excitement and energy around it, and I'll hear from a lot of people that they'll be attending. And then as it gets closer and closer, everything gets lighter, the frequency gets lighter, 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 whatever the main quality is coming for the event. Maybe it's kindness, maybe it's service, maybe it's love, it's something benevolent. Other stuff gets, you know, sent away, washed out. My consciousness gets cleaner in that arena, lighter, lighter, lighter. As it gets lighter, 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 calls start coming in. I almost feel like people are getting, like, picked up and taken away. It's very fascinating. calls start coming in, very unexpected things happen. Someone's tire will blow out on the way to the event or something. And then less and less people can come. And suddenly by the time the event happens, it can even happen during an event that some people will suddenly have to leave. And by the time the event happens, it's so protected and so light. And only a portion of who thought they would be there can be there. But who's there has something's happening. They're like a vehicle, and this light, light, light comes in. And I'm not thinking that's, you know, something that's just happening to me. I'm seeing all around, and from the stories I hear from clients and people, that there's this taking of us into a, it's like a different frequency.
Right.
And, but what I'm finding is that any body, anything that doesn't want to go, that doesn't want to be cleansed or moved into that frequency, I'm getting calls like never before. I've heard from more people in the last year than all my years before that, with cancers, accidents, psychotic breakdowns, you know, intense physical traumas. Like, I'm so amazed at what's happening. There's so much tragedy happening as well as this incredible benevolence beaming through.
Yes, that's absolutely right. There's a lot of breakdown happening. That's why I say we're like the bloom on a long lineage of humanity, and that we're the fruits, or we could say we're the fruits of a long lineage of woundedness. And that woundedness has reached a point where it can't go any farther. It's being pulled up to the surface.
So I think one of the greatest gifts that you give to people, to individuals with your work, is that many times, we can't see ourselves. So if we're running a pattern, perhaps it's just genetic. It went from one person to the next, or perhaps it's astrological and because of when we were born in, or perhaps it's something from a past lifetime that we agreed to. But when we're running a pattern, sometimes just our biological system, our training, our conditioning, and the way things have been for all these years would really give a big push to keep running the delusion. They are all delusions, all those wounded consciousness.
Distortions.
And so, yes, I can go with that. I agree with that. And so your work can help people to say, oh, wait a minute, let's use the witness. You mentioned how the witness had gotten so out of balance that, you know, we thought we were separate from our own selves for a while.
Mm-hmm.
But then it came back in. Let's use the witness to look at what are these wounds that are getting acted out in your consciousness again. Can those be looked at and related to in a different way so that something else can birth forward?
Exactly. Thank you for bringing that up, because when you look at an astrological chart, you can, you know, an astrologer can see it manifesting on different levels. So where I can see the wound, I can also see the gift. So I can see the purpose. I can see the purpose that the wound holds within it. You know, so say, for example, I have Saturn oppose my Sun. And for an astrologer, they say, oh, that's the typical father wound. That's the typical, you know, you're not good enough wound, or the authority wound. But what it's really trying to do, because, you know, if you know a little astrology, sometimes people go, oh, no, I'm having a Saturn transit, you know, suffer, suffer. But really, none of these passages we go through, whether we know the astrological signature or not, are meant to punish, you know, and we're leaving that old patriarchal view of sin. You know, we're going into, and that's the beauty of the creative energy of California and the West, is that it's seeing it through these creative eyes that are taking away this heavy punishment energy or heavy karmic way of looking at it. And we can simply look at it like, this is the way that Saturn has been playing out, like there's someone over you who's judging you. And that's the way Saturn has been in our society for a long time. That's the way that energetic force, that archetypal father force has been played out. But that's changing. And what it really is, the essence of that energy. So now we can take it up. We're moving away from the wound and we're saying, well, the whole purpose of that is that you came in this lifetime to work through the old patriarchal judgment and to own your own knowingness. So it'll give you opportunity after opportunity to learn how to focus in on what is truth for you, not to take up other people's truth, and not to leave when you get under the pressure of someone else who is very knowledgeable and you feel less than, but to stay with that and constantly in your body to own what is true for you. So it's a strengthening, and so we can talk about what's needed if we see the wound in the chart rather than, I'm so sorry you were born with this.
Yes, so this is very beautiful because it's a really positive affirmation of the benevolence of life, of creation, that when conflict or misunderstanding or an unfulfilled yearning comes, it's not because there's a punishment or bad fortune, etc. It's more because something is being called forth to be looked at in a new way so something else can birth forward. So you can help people to look at what's happening with them personally in the context of what's happening globally or geographically to understand what is trying to happen in me. Why are these situations that I'm finding difficult coming to me? Where's the gift in this? Where's the available transformation in this?
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly it. That's the beauty of our universe. As you know, Lori, is that it provides tools everywhere, tools and perspectives and views of this incredible creative intelligence that is, you know, fundamentally always about transformation. And that's what astrology is. And it's a way to tap in to the divine expression of what is unfolding now. What is its purpose? What is its meaning? What is its, even what is its timing? You know, so it is so, you know, I feel very blessed to be able to have this part of my life. But at the same time, you know, I've had to I don't talk about it just in regular conversation with someone, and lots of times I've had experiences of people asking me what I do, and when I say it, they kind of turn around and walk, you know, into another room. So it's interesting because this is a precious, sacred perspective, and it's returning. It's returning, and when we think of it as like the zodiac, which is the wheel of the signs, Aries through Pisces, is like a CD in the heavens, and it's collected all the wisdom from Pythagoras through Galileo, who was an astrologer, and Newton, who was an astrologer, to Carl Jung, to then the more modern astrologers, Dame Rudger, Liz Green, etc. Richard Tarnas, he's a you know, doing great work now. He's a historian. He teaches at the California Institute of Integral Studies and with Brian Swim, the cosmologist, and they're bringing astrology into the worldview. It's a wonderful thing that's happening. It's a return of the feminine to know who we really are.
So in this big shifting and return to the feminine, and return and coming into a new way of knowing all of ourselves as part of something, as part of one something that's alive, and being at such a pivotal time where you said something that makes me understand or assume that you have the same opinion as me, as many people, that we're on the brink, that our planet can flourish or we could lose the human species and we could lose a lot of species. Okay.
Yes.
So in this opportunity time for birth to come into the feminine and new ways of being, thus doing, people are yearning to know how to participate, and it's a personal answer that has to come for everyone. But is there going to be some kind of more of a shifting to thinking out how do we set ourselves up in systems of countries, et cetera, that would be more supportive to a healthy planet that supports its plants and animals so that everything can come back into balance? How it's so overwhelming, you know, each person gets up in the morning and they do what they need to do. So how do we think about, and we don't, I personally think we have a very big time limit on our hands about keeping our planet, keeping the life forms going.
Right. Well, it's unfolding now. All of it is unfolding now. And there's good news, you know, that this tremendous, innovative, creative force is coming in, and it's coming in really strong. It's the Jupiter conjunct Uranus. Jupiter and Uranus are together in the heavens, and they're going into Aries. And there's more. I mean, I could go into a lot of the astrological aspects, but the bottom line, I think that one of the bottom lines is that we have to honor loving ourselves, because when we honor that and what that, we have to define to ourselves what that means, then we create spaciousness to hear what the guidance and what is needed at the time and where we're going to put our focus for the rebuilding of our systems and structures, which mostly is going to come by individuals getting together in communities and devising new ways to do things. Like there's a group called, I think it's Earth Exchange, and they're creating a different kind of form of money. Because basically what's happening, and this would be a whole other talk, but what's happening to the United States and therefore to the whole world is that we're having the planet Pluto of death and rebirth opposite our money planets, which basically is meaning, number one, that our values are going through a huge change, and also an endless expansion. It is going through a death rebirth. I mean, just like you go into a grocery store and you see, you know, how many aisles of different cereal. That's ending. All that's ending. There's parts of capitalism that are ending, and that's naturally happening. So what can we do as human beings, individuals, is number one, to honor and love ourselves is number one, because that creates the ability for the spaciousness so we can hear in those other dimensions and bring forward the wisdom. And then to take up our creative powers, and now it's the Aquarian age, we connect with other people to bring wisdom and new systems forward. So that's a little way to talk about it. If you have more questions, I can go more specifically into it in terms of the changes that are taking place. I think the other thing for individuals is that when any individual feels polarized, that's like a giant key right now to look at where we feel polarized against or we feel attacked. And to see that as a teaching, as an opportunity for a teaching for us, so that we can move into a perspective where there's a unity perspective. But, you know, in the old way, it was, you know, I have to adjust, especially for women. I have to adjust somehow. But sometimes it's more I have to embody, you know, my clear truth in this moment and stand in courage and do what I need to do without force, but from a place of love.
That says a lot. What I have is a question that's different but related in a way. I'm noticing as I'm teaching, a lot of young people coming who are just really beaming with light.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it is wonderful. And really coming from a very different place. And I'm noticing they'll ask me a question, and I'll turn it, when what I'll hear in the question, for example, a young man was asking me more about how to talk to the whales. But to me, it was so obvious he was a conduit for the whales. And, you know, I turned the question back into an exercise where basically he led the room with the whales. And I'm seeing this more and more, these kind of messengers, these young messengers.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if you've read the charts of any of the younger people who are coming in with all, you know, I had to do a lot of uncovering to trust the consciousness I came in with. That when I was 20, I didn't trust it. I was, you know, really trying to develop what people were telling me would be acceptable. I never pulled it off very well, but, you know, I see these young people that come in without the barriers. It's not like they have to do as much unconditioning. It's so beautiful.
Yeah, I agree with, I totally agree with you. I think, to me, they're, you know, I don't know if you want to say older souls, but they seem wise. There's a lot of wisdom, and
yes,
there's also a lot of openness.
More
openness about all sorts of subjects. You know, so there's like, I have a son who's going to be 20, and he's born in a generation with Pluto and Scorpio. So we can say that generation, it's about, it's a group of souls. It's about 13 years or so. And they want to penetrate the invisible. They want to get to know what's been hidden, and they're not afraid to bring it forward.
That's beautiful. Yes, and I've run into young people like that who are very able to identify and say things out loud that many people would not say, with a huge compassion, a huge forgiveness, yet an attentiveness to, and this is something that has to, you know, that ideally wants to be loved enough to be transformed in me personally as well as everyone around me. That kind of a, is that the kind of, are we talking about the same thing? Yeah,
and
that's wonderful.
And
yeah,
that, you know, that, that's so beautiful that you work with, you know, the animals, and young people want to touch into that because there's so much wisdom in the animals. And this is really important. You know, this is the return of the feminine, is this deep listening to the intelligence in nature.
Yes, and it's a deep listening through the heart, where the heart is the brain and the heart becomes telepathic.
Exactly, and in astrology, you know, the we're defined in certain ways by our sun sign, and that's the heart. In astrology, the sun represents the heart, and that's the vital force, that's the light, that's the illumination. So, you know, that's beautiful. And just, you know, the things that we're looking forward to in terms of, like, 2012, you know, there's this greater awareness. I often feel like the Mayans are reaching out to us from long ago with the way they perceived reality, which was very nature-based and cosmic-based. They would attune to the energy of the sun and believed, and lots of the ancient traditions do believe that the center of our galaxy, the Milky Way, its transmission goes through the sun, and then the transmission from the center of the Milky Way comes from the sun to us. That's how we receive and are opened up to this great creative force and wisdom. And on, you know, December 21st, 2012, there is a lineup at sunrise with the Earth and the sun and that center of the galaxy. And we're in that now. We're in it now. So there's this awareness. I mean, Carl Kalman, who studied the Mayan calendar, calls it universal consciousness coming in, even past the galactic consciousness is where we are now, but this universal consciousness coming in where we realize we're part of much greater connectedness to this oneness through the universe, that we're part of this greater wholeness, and that humanity has kind of highlighted that Mayan date to be that time where greater and greater awareness is coming in, greater light and consciousness and awakening is coming in based on the alignment through the heart of our solar system, which is our sun, and the heart and center of our galaxy.
This makes complete sense to me because the sun, I don't know if I've ever told this to anyone, but the sun, in my personal experience, is a living being, just like every animal and the Mother Earth. And the sun has communicated in my subjective personal experience that we, as humans or dogs or cats or deers or snakes, etc., are like the most outer edge reflection of the sun. So the sun in the oneness creates all these aspects of consciousness, and by the time it gets to its what it's imagining in the physical form, at the very end, it's like a human. So when the human starts to listen back fully through their heart to what the sun is offering and birthing, what happens is the human, forgive me for my abstractness, this is the best way I can articulate this, the human begins to dissolve more and more and more of what the human has imagined the human is, and becomes more and more and more a vehicle through which the sun's benevolence can participate.
Well said, Lori. I think that's really well said.
Thank
it
you.
It is said in the ancient teachings that our sun and our solar system are on the frequency of love, wisdom, and that the quality of consciousness that permeates us through the sun is love, and in that love is all the wisdom. And, of course, you know, we know about prana. And so, to me, I'm hearing you also say, you know, we'll come to own more of our light body, to be aware of its capacities.
Yes. I wonder if you do an astrological chart. I wish you could do one for a whale.
Yeah, I can.
Can you? Yes.
I have to know their birth time. That's, that's a challenge. But, you know, I know my dog's chart.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
So you've done them for animals as well as people.
Yes.
Yes.
And for countries and cities and businesses and weddings, marriages.
Oh, good. Okay, so any being or any entity has its own life, like a wedding has its own soul, almost, you could say.
Yes.
Right? Yes.
Yes.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Yes, I really relate to that. Wow. Wow, so, and I want people who are listening to this interview that your phone number is right under the interview visually, but for more auditory people, why don't you just say your phone number right now? Because people will have all kinds of aspects of their life circumstances and their interest in the globe that they'll want to call you and set up a reading, is my guess. So,
yeah, so my office number is 831-476-5787. And for those people who are interested in what Lori and I have been talking about today, once a month I do a monthly group where this is what we talk about and what's happening, what is the energy of right now, how do we best move with it, what is it instructing us, you know, how, what are the directions. So it's the first Friday of the month, and that's held at my Center for Transformative Visions, which is in Santa Cruz, 819 1/2 Pacific Avenue, at 9:30 a.m. first Friday of the month.
And Sue, we have hundreds of people on this list, but they're all over the globe. And I'm just wondering, do you think at any point that would be put onto CDs or Skype or something for those who want to be with you but can't make it to Santa Cruz?
Yeah, I'd love to do that. I need some help with that, but I would love to do that. And you know, I think that there are, you know, many astrologers working with this energy, but I do a lot of phone consultations, and I'm just a little behind, as you know, Lori, in my technical skills.
Well, you don't need the technical skills. When we put something like this out, it just tells the universe you need the right person to come, you know, do
yes,
that part.
Thank you.
But the phone sessions are extremely valuable, and I actually do, even though I live in Santa Cruz, I usually, if I want to talk to you about something, we do it by phone, and it's very valuable, extremely important for me, because it's helped me to understand in the complexity of things, which is really important when different aspects of consciousness are operating through me and I get befuddled or confused. I've gotten great clarity from you, which can be put into practical use right away.
I feel like, you know, when you and I do a session, that I'm literally inside of your temple psyche, and I can feel the different intelligences, and it's just, for me, with you, Lori, it's always just, I kind of turn one just a little bit, and you get it, and an adjustment takes place on some cognitive level.
Oh, thank you. Well, what I noticed with you, which is why you had my immediate respect, is that I noticed that you had this immense capacity to understand many different aspects. I myself don't do well when everything's turned into one system. I mean, I've studied so many different systems, and I like it that you have this huge intelligence that can just look at all these different aspects and start to put together how they're operating together from a very feeling place, a very soul place, a very alive place. And I think that many people out there would really love to experience this work you do. It's unique. I mean, yes, there's lots and lots of astrologers, but this is your way of doing it. It's very filled with love and aliveness and lots of compassion. I've learned a lot about self-compassion from your perspective over the years.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Glad to hear that feedback.
So, now I have another question. You can, all these experiences that people are having right now are they're somewhat different from the animals, because we seem to have more of a struggle with our witness taking us out of ourselves.
Right.
So what about the planets and the stars? Are they having shifts and changes that they experience a struggle like we do? Or what are they doing right now in your experience?
You know, that is a really, really good question. And I think there's different answers to that. You know, I've heard of it like this, and so you know, the challenge for us in terms of sensing what is most true is, you know, how much are we projecting onto the planet, and how much are these planets, which, like you described the sun, are alive, intelligent centers, how much are they going through something that's not a projection from us? And obviously we're all interrelated. I mean, like, if we have the belief that there's a very unique experiment going on down here on planet Earth, and I think, you know, the way I think of it is that we're given this opportunity to slow down the spirit of ourselves so much to be in this body, in this physical manifestation, that we have to deal with minute details that take time here on planet Earth to rework, where in, if you're in the spirit realm that is not in form, it doesn't take that long. But there's tremendous, tremendous learning that takes place. And I think it goes throughout our galaxy. It goes throughout the star systems. The things that we're learning in this denser vibration. So if that's the case, then it could be that the planets are going through a shedding of a thick veiling membrane that has been around them in our solar system, as that's taken place over the last, say, you know, 2,000 years. I mean, maybe we could go 5,000. I mean, I think it all depends. Are we what time period are we looking at? But just how I talked about, you know, the archetypal meaning of Saturn is really changing from, they used to call it a malefic, meaning that if you had a hard Saturn transit in your birth chart, you had really bad fortune. You know, it's changing from a malefic into that force that is like in alchemy, that essentializes to truth. And so I have heard it said, from talking to like Chinese clairvoyants, that Saturn is undergoing this transformation where it's been locked up in a certain way with this membrane around it, and that's being released. And we can think of it too like the Earth. You know, the Earth is, you've probably seen this, Lori, in your visions, but it's surrounded by a dark membrane that comes from all our negativity and polarization. And that causes war, and it causes disease. And that the more light that comes in, the more that's changing. So there's also different views that as we travel through this galaxy, around the center of the galaxy, we go through certain areas of the cosmos that are drenched with more photons of light, now being one of them, and that is quickening things. Now, you know, I don't know that scientifically. I mean, I've heard different scientific pieces around it, but certainly your question is well put. You know, it could be said that the whole solar system, as we evolve and work with the respect of the animals and respect of the Earth, will go up in frequency, and we go into the fifth dimension. We go through the ascension process, where we're able to work with more subtle energies and see and perceive, like you do, perceive the angelic realms and the elemental realms, and be able to have more consciousness in working with that, those manifestations of creation.
Yes, and we're talking in perspective, so just as you mentioned that you don't necessarily know the science, I want to remind everyone that what is said to be true science usually within 10 to 100 years is no longer said to be true science. So I think we're coming into an age where we can appreciate perspectives more that we actually don't, in my opinion, know anything, really. Or so we're always talking about perspectives, and we're coming into an age, just as we were talking about in the beginning of the conversation, where we can appreciate the value of whatever perspectives we're offering in the moment. We don't need to decide if they're right or wrong. It might be a waste of time to decide that. It will all come out anyway. And so it will come out in a multitude of different perspectives where we still don't know.
Well, but the source is no thingness. We know that.
Yes. I do have one more question about this, which is what I'm thinking as you're speaking then is that our solar system is having all kinds of relationships with the with the source. It maybe the sun is the. I'm thinking the sun. Well, we know the sun scientifically is the source, so to speak, of our solar system. And then we're having experiences that there's a whole spiritual element to that. Maybe they've said science and spirituality will come to be known as the same, and that's happening. And then there's lots of other solar systems that we don't even know about. And so they would, and my feeling is everything's coming from one source. But there would be a whole different astrology for other solar systems that we don't even know about. It might even be in contexts that we can't even comprehend. It could be maybe so different in different solar systems. So we're talking about a study of this particular one solar system in the whole universe. Is that?
That's right. And it's really, I mean, just on the globe, there's different astrologies. You know, the Chinese astrology is different. The Tibetan is very different. The Veda, the Jyotish, which is the Vedic astrology from India, that's different. You know, the systems are different, and yet it's a way that anybody who chooses to extend their senses out into the night sky, into the realm of space and the solar system, can perceive a truth. And then as you move around the globe, it shifts as the perspective shifts, just like as you're looking at a mountain from the east, it looks one way, from the west, it looks another way. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, how we, you know, access truth in nature shifts.
Well, this is just so exciting and intriguing, and it must be wonderful to be able to have the skills to sit down and to do a reading for anything, a person, a planet, a solar system, a geographical location, a cat, a dog, etc. That's a wonderful skill that you've developed over so many years combined with your intuitive gifts and your innate intelligence, all of it put together. So could you say your phone number one more time for people out there that would like to call you and receive your services?
Thank you, Lori. It's 831-476-5787.
Okay, thank you. This was very fun. Is there anything that you were wishing I would ask you that you were just hoping to express, which I didn't get to? I know you have enough to talk for years.
Yeah. No, I think you did an excellent job. I very much enjoyed being able to talk to you like this. As always, I always enjoy it.
Thank you. It's very mutual. Okay, Sue, well, I will send you a link so you can also share this interview with whomever you like.
Oh, thank you, Lori.
Yes, and have a wonderful rest of your day, and thank you so much for taking the time to share this with others.
So do you have my email address?
Yes, wait a minute.